healing service with the breaking of bread. I love the picture we have here of the bread being broken, the breaking open of the body of Christ for us, the breaking open of ourselves as we receive his broken body and receive his healing. And it's wonderful this service is going out on Sunday morning to the congregation at that time as well. I'd just like to say thank you so much to Derek and his colleague back there for all they've done, really, to get this ready. And to Derham, thank you so much, Derham, for praying for us and others who've made this possible. Dave and Peter are on a much-needed half-term break. So they're with us in the spirit, Dave. I got an email yesterday saying he's very much praying for us this morning. So it's a bit of an unusual service. We've put together different things because the heart of it is healing. But we just hope and pray that you will enter into it and find something both for you and for others on your hearts as we open ourselves and open our world afresh to the healing presence and power of our Lord in bread and in wine, in the precious service of the breaking of bread, the Holy Communion. I'm going to use a prayer at the beginning, which goes back 1,000 years, someone called Thomas Aquinas. It's a wonderful prayer. So just to be comfortable as you're seated, and I lead in this prayer. We come as sick to the physician of life. We come unclean to the fountain of mercy. We come blind to the light of eternal splendor. We come needy to the Lord and giver of life. We come naked to the King of glory. Just a moment of quiet. Affirm in your own spirit that God is here, the Lord who says in the scriptures, I am the Lord your healer. Affirm his presence with us in healing power. There's a wonderful quote from the very early church in the first century where they talked about the breaking of bread as the medicine of immortality. Isn't that marvellous? The Holy Communion, the breaking of bread, the medicine of immortality. And we come to receive this medicine for ourselves, for yourself, whatever you need. And I've got several people who've asked for prayer, and I'll be mentioning their names in due course. Maybe someone else is on your heart this morning, someone in your family, a relationship, a relation, a friendship with somebody, someone far away. The Lord is not bound by time or space. He's here to heal. And we also think of the healing of our world at this time. And I brought this globe along, and I put this cloth underneath, the red cloth of the blood of Christ. The scripture says, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, the cross in the very heart of God from all eternity. And yet, across our globe, across our planet, a kind of dark zone, someone called it. A darkness that's covering the whole planet at this time. Some countries much worse than others, but we're just aware of this common humanity with this darkness upon us, like the darkness upon the face of the earth when Christ was crucified. But the wonderful thing is that this represents the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God slain for us, God who gave his Son for the world, the blood of Christ poured out for his world. I'll just say a word about healing within the context of the Holy Communion. Sometimes it can be something physical that actually happens. I remember somebody in this church a year or two back who came. We had a very simple communion, and this person had come into church with real physical pain. And we weren't particularly praying for that, but this person came up after and said, "I'm going out totally free. And it's because of the blood of Christ, the power of the blood and body of Christ in the bread and wine." Sometimes our hearts get very hard. I took part in a communion service in some next door neighbours recently, and she was very close to death, and she asked for the communion, and I went along, and the husband hadn't been to church for years. She was quite a faithful church member in her own church. And we came to break the bread. He said, "Shall I go out?" I said, no, stay. No, I didn't say that. She said, "It's stay." So I said, "Well, come on, she wants you to stay." So he stayed. And at the end of his breaking of bread, very simply, his eyes were filled with tears. And he just said this, "How can we be so hard? So hard." I've never seen this man before like that. I knew him on and off, really, through several years. And here he was with tears streaming down. And it's the hardness of heart, isn't it? And something like this gets through that hardness. We had a funeral just recently in the Baptist church. Lovely man Stuart used to come up to All Saints, where I usually worship. And they gathered around his bed to share communion before he died. And someone there, a younger man, gave his life to Christ in that communion by the bedside. Stuart's great friend Derek told me that. I mean, isn't that wonderful? In all kinds of ways, the healing of the Holy Sacrament, the medicine of immortality. Sometimes one has gone to a house for cleansing, and it's been the breaking of the bread that has been a cleansing power on that house. We've done it sometimes in a church as well, the cleansing of that church. This is my body. This is my blood, the power in the blood and wine, or the East African revival. They sing wonderfully about this power, power, power in the blood, and the blood of Christ is so real to them. And so, in the scripture itself, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, actually verse 16, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ?" We are sharing in the blood of Christ, in the body of Christ, as we receive this communion. And when we have the reading in a few minutes' time from 1 Corinthians 11, the context is that some people are taking the bread and wine and are either sick, or some have even died because it's been received actually in the wrong way. But the opposite of that is receive it in the right way and you get healing. And this is, I think, a wonderful truth. So let's continue now into the service, aware that if there is hurt or physical pain, something in the past, a relationship you know needs to be put right, a burden you're bearing, all of these things, whatever is in your heart and in your body, let the Lord come in his broken body and be a healing for us. Christ known in the breaking of the bread. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Those two on the Emmaus walk. We knew Christ in the breaking of the bread. Praise God. I love these words from a hymn that we would often sing. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink from thee the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Lord, we come to taste thee, to feast upon thee in our lives. We come to drink from thee, the fountainhead, the source of all life and all light. Thirst our souls, our thirsty souls. Ask those on our hearts for this world, a thirsty world, longing for deliverance, for redemption, and to be filled afresh by you. And I love these words to come. The invitation of Christ to come to him, the living bread. We light this candle. It's lovely. We've already got these two candles that Derek has lit at the back of the Lord's table. And we light this candle. We light it. Just this very simple prayer, which I love. Kindle for me thy light, O Christ. Restore me. Restore us in your presence. Kindle for us your light, O Christ. Restore in us your presence. So we light a candle. Those are the words written for us. And at this stage, I just want to share this icon. I'm so grateful to Kirsty for putting this together for us. And she found this beautiful icon, which goes back to the 15th century, which is one of the Holy Trinity. I've got it here too. And it's an icon that is an icon. What it really means, it's something that is like a window into heaven. That's how I see icons. Many different parts of the church in the world draw upon icons, particularly in the Orthodox Church. And this shows us the Holy Trinity, the Father on the left in his gold, the Son on the right, someone in the middle in his red, the red of the blood of Christ, and on the right is the Spirit in the green garment of all creation. So you've got heaven with the gold, you've got creation in the green, and Christ right in the middle, holding together the divine, the human in himself. And right at the heart of the Holy Trinity in this icon is the chalice, is the blood of Christ. And it's Christ looking to the Father saying, my Son, go, I send you to bring life and deliverance, salvation to the world. It's an icon that speaks so much to so many people in different situations. And what's so beautiful about it is that there's a space, and you and I can come into it. I just want to pause a moment as you and I are drawn into this space this morning. And those who will be watching on Sunday, be drawn into this space, enfolded by the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, beautifully, beautifully portrayed here as a kind of circle, isn't it? The heads of the three figures of the Holy Trinity, and we come in and we're there and we're part of the Holy Trinity, that we might live in him and he lives in us. This is what St. John says. We're part of this enfolding. And what I find very helpful in healing and praying for people is to bring someone else into that space. So if you come this morning with someone on your heart, bring them into this space where they are enveloped, enfolded by the Holy Trinity, the power of the presence of the sacred Holy Trinity. Just hold yourself there if you feel able to, hold someone else there. You don't need words. You're holding them there in faith for the healing of God. And there's a few people who've asked to be held there this morning. We hold, Lord, these people for Roger and for Susan and for Helen. And also for Doug Meadows, who needs our prayers this morning, who works so hard here in this church. And as we hold in prayer the Powell family, Josh, who had his hand surgery yesterday, a tiny infant baby, Penny, and somehow joined together in the heavenly host with those who were so tragically taken from us. And anyone else, just to hold them there. Sometimes if I brought someone into that space, I sort of step away. I just leave them there for God's healing. God knows what they need, much more even than I know for them. Leave them there to be bathed in that presence of the Holy, Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we share this ruble of icon, the Holy Trinity, with the blood of Christ at the center. By his wounds, we are healed. Come, dear friends, to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may come. Not to declare that you are righteous, but that you desire to be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come not because you're strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, we stand in the constant need of heaven's mercy and help. So we come out of darkness, these wonderful words in the first epistle of Peter, come out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're all part of this darkness, all part of the darkness over the face of the earth. We're all part of falling short of the glory of God. Part of the dark zone of our planet at this time. And so for us, for those on our hearts, indeed for God's world, we say together these words in the yellow, if we can say it together, beginning, Lord, have mercy. Could we say together, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And I use the prayer of the confession of the absolution, we call it. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wonderful words we've received. Come, Lord, into the centre of my being. Fill me with your Spirit. Pray in me to the Father. Live in me, and I in you. Come now to one of the great words in the breaking of bread and the Holy Communion, and it's the word remember, remember. And Kathleen is going to come and read this for us. This is the earliest writing we have of the Lord's Supper in the Bible, even before the Gospels. This is St. Paul writing 1 Corinthians 11. And the words remember. Thank you so much, Kathleen. Thank you.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
We remember as against dismember. Dismember is when everything breaks apart. Remember is when everything is brought together, drawing all our fragmented bits of our lives together. It's back to the candle, isn't it? Holding ourselves in Christ's light, holding someone else in that light, holding God's world in that light. Do this in remembrance of me. In a sense, it's like, you know, you've had a lovely holiday and it's gone, but you remember it by bringing that holiday back from the past into the present. And that's a way of refreshing yourself and making something real. In the same way, it's like the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, the communion. You remember, you bring it, the past into the present. And it's as real now as it was then. So what we're doing now is as real as it was in that Last Supper with our Lord as the host. And he's our host anyway, isn't he? Always the host. We are his guests. And then these lovely words at the end of that passage we've just had. Do this until he comes. We won't need the breaking of bread when he comes, not when we meet face to face, not when we're in heaven, not when we're surrounded by the heavenly hosts of angels and archangels and of the communion of saints. We won't need it. We're face to face. We see through a glass darkly now, then face to face. But we do this until he comes. And we experience something of heaven even now, waiting for that day until he comes as we break bread together. And so we come to remember, to be recreated, Lord. Recreate me, recreate us, recreate your church. We come to be put together again. We come to be made whole. And there's four things that our Lord did. He took the bread, he broke, he gave thanks, and he distributed. He took the bread. He did it often, didn't he? The feedings of the 5,000, the 4,000, by the Lake of Galilee, the road to Emmaus, that inside. He took the bread, he broke it, the broken body of Jesus. Broke, took, he blessed the broken body, his broken body to us, and distributed it for all to participate. And the lovely thing that we had in that reading at the end, when St. Paul says, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The communion is a proclamation. It's evangelism. It's proclaiming the Lord's death in something even more than words, but in breaking bread and in the shed blood of Christ. Then we come to this scripture. One of the most powerful scriptures, really, I think, in the Bible. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. The blood, like the wine, representing divinity, the water, the humanity, the divine, the human, Jesus, perfectly divine, perfect human. And we open ourselves to this incredible gift of the divine life flowing in us and through us. Let's pause just a moment. Pause to take into our hearts and minds, whole beings, that blood pouring from the side of Christ, pouring from his body, we receive that today in this body and blood of Christ. This is my body. This is my blood given, shed for you. So taking the body and blood of Christ, symbolized in the wine, taken on our behalf by the celebrant, that's by myself, and the bread for our healing. And I think it just needs to be explained here, because it's sad that with the COVID-19, we can't all partake for health reasons of the blood of the wine. But when the celebrant takes it, he or she is taking it on behalf of the people. We are one body, St. Paul says. We've been studying that a bit in the previous Sundays in church. We're one body, and because we are all linked in one body, what one does affects the others. And so when the celebrant receives the wine, it's as if all of us are receiving, if you can see it like that. He or she is representative of the people of God in doing this. So, Lord, as we come now to that moment of the partaking of the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. I'll just say these words, and then I'll be taking the wine, I'll be bringing the bread round, and I shall obviously come round with a mask on, and I won't say any words, and we drop the bread into your hands, the body of Christ for you, for those on your hearts, for the healing of our bodies, of our souls, every part of us and those upon our hearts. So, Lord, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and blood. From his side flowed blood and water. And then while we receive this, Derham is going to play for us. So take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood for your healing, the medicine of immortality. then sadly we can't sing, but we sing in our hearts as Derham leads us, "Be still and know I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." At the end of our service together, we come to give thanks. And the word Eucharist, that's another word, isn't it, used? A very scriptural word. It means thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the Eucharist. And I love what's said here. I've just put a quote here of Francis Young, who's lived and brought up a son very disabled, and she has a wonderful witness for this, and she's just said these words: "Thanksgiving is immensely liberating. To give thanks is immensely liberating." So we give thanks, Lord, to you, to be liberated ourselves in thanksgiving for all your sacrifice offering to us. And we've not got all the words here, but Derham's going to play for us, and we can sing in our hearts, "Give thanks with a grateful heart."
Thank you.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. And these words, beautiful words from the great religious poet George Herbert, 17th century. Love is that liquor, sweet and most divine, which my God feels as blood, but I as wine. And as we go forward to let the Son of God enfold you, and keeping the Holy Trinity, this icon of the Holy Trinity, enfolding us and surrounding us and giving all that's needed to bring his healing around us and to his world. Give him all your tears and sadness. Give him all your tears of pain, and you'll enter into life. In Jesus' name. Just sense, dear Lord, so many tears of sadness in our midst here, through what has gone on in the last weeks and in our own lives, where we're just conscious of sadness in many different ways, and yet knowing that the other side of sadness is joy. And no one can take that from us. These wonderful words go back to the 5th century, St. Augustine, who in the context of the Holy Communion, the breaking of bread, just as Jesus took and blessed and broke and distributed, he says, so are you to be taken, to be blessed, broken, distributed, that the work of the incarnation of God becoming flesh among us may go forward. Lord, take us, bless us as we go forward. Keep us broken inside, broken for the world, broken for your humanity. Distribute us, Lord, wherever you choose, that your work in Jesus Christ may go forward through your Spirit. Amen. Oh, these beautiful words at the end, because of what Christ has done on the cross, drawing together all the dismembered parts of humanity. So let us go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.